Go ahead now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Go ahead. All right. All right. Let's do it, Dave. 1,089 all around.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show.
Good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Eagle! Showtime!
Pizza, pizza.
I use the bathroom.
Nothing wrong with getting a little dirty.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that a lick it bad. For the show link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICGL is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1089 of the LinuxLink Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Dynamic Dave.
Hello.
Joe's there. I don't know if he's...
Yep. I think I got it worked out now.
Oh, it sounds perfect. Sounds perfect. I'm sure Joel will be showing up shortly. And we gotta get a new song for the show because three of those four people aren't here anymore. And the three of the people that show up regularly are not even in the song. But anyway. So Dave, this was beautiful. On Friday night, I missed, there we go, here he comes.
Yeah.
I missed two calls from work that were looking for me because they were having a problem. And I was like, oh. I woke up Saturday morning, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, I feel like such shit.
How'd you miss them?
I don't know. One came in at 7, another one came in at like 10. And I went to bed kind of early that night, but I was cooking. I know that. But anyway, like I got up next morning. I'm like, I texted my manager. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I miss it. For some reason, when I switched over to this laptop, new laptop, like the notifications thing got messed up on Slack. So I wasn't getting through. But anyway, I messaged him. He's like, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. The problem's still happening, so that prompted a whole other call for another hour and a half, 2 hours. And what it was this is beautiful, right? The gist of it was sometime around Wednesday morning, our CMS database increased by like 5 gigs. And the one table increased by 5 gigs, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
After that, there was a noticeable slowness on the website, and there was a release that was done about an hour after that increase in the database. And so nobody noticed this and nobody said anything until Friday night after work. One of the users is like, why is it taking me 15 seconds to start a new story? And other people were like, yeah, I noticed that too, which is then when it prompted for all of us to start getting on and troubleshooting this problem, right? They couldn't, and we know for a fact it was probably happening Wednesday on because the pattern was there.
Why couldn't they say anything then?
I know. But what it says to me is from Wednesday to Friday, there were two other releases. There was at least two releases. And I'm like, how come nobody else noticed this problem? Like, it's really bizarre that nobody noticed this problem on our team. I wasn't messing with it. So anyway. We sat there for a couple hours trying to figure out what the problem was, right? And ultimately, what it came down to is that there is this thing in WordPress that is called an auto draft. And when you create a new story, it sets the story type to auto draft, and that allows it to save that story every 5 seconds in the background until you actually save it. But then there's this other field, WP Post, which is supposed to be a unique field because it's used for what WordPress calls the slug. And it has to be a unique field, but in MySQL, it's not labeled as a unique field. And it's not an indexed field. So there's this function that when you create a new story, that it runs to set that slug, WP Post, to auto-draft, and then a number after that. But to get that number, it has to go through the entire database and look at all those posts, the WP posts that are set to auto draft, and find the last number. So it's not like a field that auto increments. It's something that they have to go through. And so when we started analyzing the database, we saw that there were at that time 28,000 and some change rows that had that set to auto draft, and they were incrementing numbers. So it was taking that function about 15 plus seconds to find a unique number to add on every time somebody was creating a new story.
Wow.
So we identified the problem, but we weren't quite sure why it was happening. And the easiest fix for this would be to wipe that out, like wipe out where change the auto draft to something else. Right. But the thing is, we didn't have admin access to the database. And the initial thought was, and we had contacted the VIP support, we were going down the route of talking about, well, we should just delete these posts, these post entries, because we don't really need the entry in the WordPress database because it's actually stored in our own ElastiCloud system, and that if we try to edit a story that doesn't exist in WordPress, it imports it, right? So that's covered. And so we were going down the route of trying to purge these things. Since we don't have direct access to the database, the first solution that our VIP support came with, well, we could just do a plugin that does a purge and it deletes all those rows that have that in there. And we're like, okay, let's see about that. And we thought that they were going to do it for us, but they just gave us the code on how to do it. And thank goodness we couldn't figure out how to use it, because right as we were about to have them run this, another guy came in on the product side and he's like, you know, we got to be careful with what we're deleting here, because we don't want to delete something that's not a published story and they have collaboration on, because there's a collaboration aspect to this that doesn't exist in our Elasticsearch system. It exists only in the WordPress database, and it's tied to the post. So if you delete the post, you orphan the collaboration, or you delete the collaboration. So if they re-import the story back in there, they lose all the collaboration. And so we're like, how do we go about doing this? How do we fix this? So the solution of deleting those entries was not going to be a viable one. So it dawned on me then, and this other guy that I work with is like, oh, if we can run the command, there's a VIP command line, and there's a WP WordPress command line option to update a post. And if we can update the post name field to something else, we can get rid of all those auto draft things. Then that function, when it runs, won't take 15 seconds. So we tried it out, and we were able to figure out how to do it. And this was like Saturday at 11 o'clock at night, right? So I'm like, this is going to be super easy. what I'll do is I have read access to the database. I'll just run a query to get the post ID and then the name of that field, the post name for all the auto drafts. Drop that out into a CSV file and I'll just run that command in a loop. Well, to complicate matters further, the VIP command is not easy to run in a loop because part of it goes into the background. And then it just, while the script is running and it's waiting for the command to finish, the loop continues and it just outputs the rest of the information. And I ran into this problem before with NPM. The thing is, I couldn't remember how I resolved it. So on their site, they say, they talk about this exact problem in their support information for the command. And they're like, your best option is to just generate, instead of running a loop, get the information that you need, run a loop to generate the commands out into a file, and then just run that file with those commands in it. So I was like, okay, that's easy enough. I got that up, and a few minutes later, I'm like, okay, it's going to take about 5 seconds to run each one of these commands. There's 28,000 of them. We're talking 40 hours, right? If I start it now, I'll be at least a third of the way through it tomorrow afternoon. And then by Monday morning, when business starts, we should have it down enough that it's not going to take 15 seconds to load it. It should be progressively faster. As I reported, I was starting the script off and went to bed. Woke up the next morning. It had taken care of about 4,000 entries and creating a new story went from 15 seconds down to 4 seconds. So I fired off to the team. I'm like, this is working great. We're down to 4 seconds. I suspect by this afternoon, we'll be far better off, even more. It was surprising to me that there was a threshold, like somewhere after 26,000 entries, like that threshold, it significantly increased the amount of time it took for that command to come back. So anyway, we decided to, you know, go out like we've been doing on the weekends, looking for, you know, looking at houses that are for sale around here. And the wife's like, we haven't gone out for brunch in a long time. Why don't we do that? She's like, I'm really hungry. So we get to the restaurant, we're just about to sit down, and I get a call from Maryland. I'm like, I don't even know who the hell this is. Like, I don't know anybody in Maryland, right? And I hang up. And then I see the Slack messages come through, and I'm like, oh, shit, my manager lives in Maryland. So I call him back, and he's like, hey, man, we're seeing a problem. You got to stop the script from running. And I'm like, oh, we just sat down. We were just about ready to order. And I'm like, all right, I got to drive home. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Like, so we're like, we got a work emergency. I got to leave. I get home. Now, I could have technically SSH'd in and figured out the IP address of my new work laptop and got into there and killed the script. But I didn't want to fuck around with that. I was like, I'm just going to go because there might be more involved here. So I get home. I kill the script. And what ended up happening? And we were completely unaware that this was going to be the case. When we ran the command through the WPCLI, it triggered a hook. And that hook triggered an update. That update triggered a publishing on our end of that story again. So stories that have been like published years ago, like a couple years ago, or have been published a while ago, were all of a sudden starting to show up again on the front page of the newspaper sites because it sent back to our system that this needed to be republished. And so it was causing a bit of a confusion to people, and they couldn't understand how this was happening. And it was registering that the last person who worked on it had republished it, and that person's like, I didn't republish it. So it caused a bit of chaos, but we managed to stop and we mitigated that. And then we're like, well, this sucks. We don't have a way to fix it. We don't know why this is happening. We need VIP support. We got to figure this out. We're tabling it till Monday morning, and then we'll come back to this. I mean, right now, what we had gotten it to is we stopped it from doing any more. Logging in and creating a story was down to like 4 seconds, so that was okay. On top of it, for some reason, this whole script process increased the database by 10 gigs.
Ow.
So that was insane. So like, now we're like, we gotta figure out why this is happening. Why did these things get republished? Why did the database get increased by 10 gigs overnight? You know, what the hell is going on? So ultimately, what we discovered was that the way that it was working was when we issued that command, anytime that you update that WP post table, it creates a new entry for that post as a revision. And so, yeah. And because of the way that we were doing it, through WordPress itself, we were, like I said, we were triggering the publishing hooks. So that was triggering, an update to our system as if it was republished again, because the publish had already happened. So it was just republishing it again. And on top of that, we were still, anybody that was creating a new story was still having that auto draft issue where it was setting that type as post name as auto draft, and it wasn't changing it. And the reason why it wasn't changing it is because we don't use that field, right? We have a slug, but it's a different field, and we don't use that field. So somewhere along the line, we took out the ability for that field to get renamed somehow. So we had to figure out how to revert that, because if we didn't, then this problem is just going to happen again in a couple of weeks. So about two-thirds of the day through, we finally got VIP support on, and they're like, oh, well, we could just update the database table directly, and change all those fields, right? And if we do it that way, it's not going to trigger the publish hook, so you should be okay. I did an export again from the database of all the entries, the post ID, along with, what we want the post name that was auto draft, what we wanted to change to. And they ran a loop on their end directly hitting the database. And lo and behold, like 6 minutes later, it was all cleared out, and, logging in, creating a new story was like down to 1 to 2 seconds. So it was back to acceptable levels. I think they patched out the problem where it's not setting the auto draft like that anymore. But we got to keep an eye on that. It was a freaking fiasco, man. It was something. I apologize. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have started that script that night, but I was trying to do the right thing. And it appeared to us that that was the right thing. We didn't see a problem with doing that, but unintended consequences, baby.
Yep.
It was fun.
Don't you hear what that happens?
Yeah, no, you know, it's like my colleague said, he's like, man, this is a pain in the ass and it sucked to be working all these hours on the weekend, but now we know how this works a whole lot better than we did before. But there we are. Mm-hmm. It was a fun experience. It also helps when you know scripting to make things go faster, so you can fuck things up a lot quicker.
That's right. I was going to say, you really want to fuck something up, automate it.
Yep, that's it. Put it all together, fire it off, and then go to lunch.
And then kiss your ass goodbye.
But everybody was cool about it. You know, these things happen. It's good to do it. Teamwork, you know, like that.
It's like last week at work, we had a Slack outage all day.
Beautiful.
What, even worse.
Wait, how did you have a Slack outage?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Was Slack just for your team was out?
I don't know if it was just us. I think it was nationwide, I thought.
Because I don't recall there being a Slack outage at all last week for us.
Maybe it was on our particular instance. I don't know. Huh. But here's the shit of it all is there's a lot of automated stuff that kicks off Jenkins jobs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
With a freaking Slack bot. And I'm like, dude, really? So now we can't do any of that stuff because Slack's down. Great.
That's you know what? Why do you guys have your automation tied to your communications client?
Well, because they don't want to train everyone how to do it in Jenkins. I mean, I can figure Jenkins out. That's easy, man. It's not hard.
That's interesting.
But anywho, and I think that what it is they want to make it easy. Like, here's a good example is I got a person, quite a few people I work with. They're more towards the business side of the application. They know, like, for example, how to do financial aid. Okay. All right. I don't know how to do financial aid. I are a systems person. I couldn't tell you, what an ICER is. That's one of the things that imports data in and out of the system with regards to financial aid and all that jazz. So, I mean, I'm not that expert, right? But the people that are the experts in those particular parts of the app, they have to do things like bounce app pulls and stuff like that. And it's easier for them to do it with a Slack bot than it is for them to RDP into the server, bounce the app pull, or run the warm-up script or whatever. You know, they don't have to do any of that. The automation takes care of it. So, but it's, of course, tied to Slack. So if Slack's down, you're fucked. And you can't do it. So then you have to annoy somebody like me who can RDP and do all that jazz. So, I don't know. You know, it's just like, it seems like, you know, putting all your freaking eggs in one basket, which is always a bad thing. Excuse me for that. But, man, I've been killing it on my workouts lately. Like yesterday, just in exercise alone, I burned almost 900 calories. I did 30 minutes on treadmill and then full leg workout and then another 20 minutes after that on the treadmill. Yeah, well.
That's cool.
Yep. It's good. It's good stuff.
It's good for you.
Last Friday, I had got up a little earlier than usual, and I had enough time to do, instead of 30 minutes, 45 minutes on the timer on the treadmill, and I beat my previous 5K record time. Which was in the hot chocolate 5K was 44 minutes, 57 seconds. And I ran it 42 minutes and 20 seconds. So anywhere between 2 to 3 minutes. Cause I don't remember the seconds part. I just remember 42. And I've lost my 140th pound.
That's great.
Yep. And I am now a first form legionnaire. So what is that?
Exactly. What is that?
Yeah. So basically now I have to buy like $110 worth of stuff from them, which is fine because I spend about that much in protein powders and stuff per month anyway. And then they're teaching me all the different things about it, and it's all, the whole goal is so that I can help people do things that I've done. All right. So then they give me a link, and if I share that link, and if like, for example, Dan decides to buy some protein powder using that link, I get a commission. So nobody's bought yet but myself, but I don't care because I'm not really doing it to make money. I'm doing it to help people. And another thing too is that a lot of people think, well, you know, I shouldn't take supplements or taking supplements are bad. And, you know, getting your nutrients and stuff from real food, you know, from clean food is preferable. But like, here's a great example is I try to get 200 grams of protein in a day. And if I eat that much real meat, the calories would be a lot higher than if I just took a protein powder, you know. At least in my book it was, because it would be, because it would depend on what I eat. So, yeah, because the new level one protein powder I take is only 130 calories for one serving versus, you know, a piece of chicken might be 60 grams of protein, but probably between 2 and 250 calories ish, depending on what you put on it and stuff.
I think that's an overestimation on the.
It probably is, but you know, it's still coming. It's like, you know, on the protein. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but they got a lot of good products, and I've tried like that level one protein, the collagen, which I mix the collagen in with my coffee, and I got salted caramel collagen, and oh man, it's so good. They also have, and I didn't even know that there was such a thing like this. They have, in their Formula One line, which is their isolate protein, which is the shorter acting protein. They have a new, clear one, in a watermelon flavor. So, that's one that, like, more appropriate for when you, do, like for a post-workout. So, but we'll see. I'll share my link, and if you guys want to buy something, that's great. If not, that's also great too. Yeah, ultimately, one of the things I might get as a Legionnaire as I do better and start to improve myself, is like, for example, maybe if I got to the point where I'm running marathons or running bigger races or actually winning races, I might be able to get like a sponsorship to them.
That would be cool.
Not
free money's always nice.
Professional athlete, because I really don't, but it's still something.
Well, semi-pro, if you're getting paid to do it.
And I went to the Arnold.
Was he there?
I wish I had more time to actually go watch, to go watch some of the events, but I didn't.
Did you get to talk to, like, Jay Cutler or Ronnie Coleman or...
Or Arnold?
Any of the other really cool people that were there?
Was Arnold
Can you
there?
Hear us?
So there's my link there.
Joel, can you hear
Apparently
us?
Apparently he can't hear us.
I don't think he can hear us.
Joel?
But
are you there?
And for Friday, I'm off work. I'm going to Cincinnati. My son's bowling in a bowling tournament.
Cincinnati.
I guess I can't. That's weird.
Yeah, I know. We're sitting here talking to you, and you can't hear us.
It's horrible.
He doesn't care.
Thought you were ignoring us. Felt like I was talking to my kids.
Wait, he's just sending us a link to his, what, he's shilling us?
Yeah.
I thought he was sending us a link to something else.
Oh, he wants to make money.
He's saying, give me the money. Give me that money.
His referral link.
He's an influencer now.
Mm-hmm.
Formula One? First form? He's always got his hand out these days. Son of a bitch. Knew it. You tell him, Dave. You tell him you give him a collagen and a suppository for him, man. He won't ever have to worry about eating it again.
Convince him you absorb less calories that way.
You put a little rocket in there, too, and make it move faster. He's gone now. Back into the audio test booth.
Well, I'm having to buy a new vehicle.
Oh.
Yes.
What are you replacing? Which one?
Well, I've got a 98 Nissan it runs just fine, but I can't carry my grandson anywhere in it.
Why? Doesn't it have a back seat?
It does not have a back seat, and the front seat is a bucket seat, and it's too small. It's.
Where'd the back seat go?
It's a regular cab pickup truck.
Oh.
It's one of those little tiny Nissan pickup trucks.
Yeah, it's a first generation Nissan Frontier. Anyway.
You know, here I'm thinking it's like some kind of thing where you just like took the back seat out. Yeah. And it's just, you look down and all you see is the road.
Yeah, my daughter's 2010 Pilot, the transmission is going. And it could have 2 weeks or 12 months. We don't know. And so it's parked. And she's driving the Prius, which has no anti-lock brakes, which isn't a big deal. But there's about $5,000 worth of other stuff that needs, you know, it's not in great shape. But it's
stuff that builds up over time.
Yeah, the engine's fine. So she's got to limp along with that for another 10 weeks. She's got a job. She's going to buy her a new car in June. But I don't, you know.
Shit, I got a job. I can't afford a new car.
But my wife, you know, she's using her car for work. If I want to take my grandson place, I got to get a new truck. So the way I'm doing it this time, I've never done this before, is I'm trying to do it all via email. And, I've got like today, I think I answered 23 different email chains going, six dealerships in 3 states. And I'm just trying to pit them against each other and get, you know, the best out the door price. But I think the tactic some of them have, one dealership, the one close to me, they're not even answering. I mean, they had an auto reply and then that was it. The others, it's like you'll get 4 emails. You'll reply to somebody and somebody else will email you back. So it's like they want to have 4 different people talk to you instead of one. It's been aggravating.
Wait, why? Like, where are you finding out about these vehicles?
Oh, I know what vehicle I want, so I'm actually emailing the dealerships and saying, I want your best out-the-door price on this vehicle.
Oh, so you're actually just...
I'm having them find me what I want.
You don't even know if they have the vehicle.
That's
you're
right.
You're just asking them.
My first vehicle, color choice, long bed, etc., there was one of them in a 500-mile radius. And before I knew what was going on, I had 7 dealerships all looking at the same car.
Really? So, okay, yeah. So these dealerships are all trying to get that one vehicle for you,
They were for a little while, and after the third dealership sent me the same sticker and happened to mention this is the only one in 500 miles, I changed my color choices and got rid of some stuff. And, you know, I now have 3 dealerships and 5 trucks, and they're all coming in, you know, about where I want it. So I'm getting my pick. So, but just because I have it in print, this is an out the door price, doesn't mean when I get there, they're going to, you know, still going to want to negotiate, which I'm fine with that. There's some wiggle room there.
How far away are these dealerships?
They're all within 150 miles.
Whoa, that's a long way to go for a car, huh?
Hey, the first car I ever bought new in 1989, I drove 100 miles to get in. Sometimes you get better deals, you know, closer to Atlanta or Charlotte.
Wow. Is this on or off the cinder blocks?
This is brand new. So.
Brand new? Oh, yeah. This is a brand new car?
Yeah.
2026?
2025. Yeah, this may be one of the last vehicles I'll ever buy. I mean, I don't expect it.
You're going to die in this vehicle, right?
If it lasts as long as the first-gen Nissan, it's a Nissan Frontier, but right. If it lasts as long as the first one, I got 27 years on it. I don't have it. It's that old. But I'm driving 600 miles a year, so it should last a long time.
That's not bad.
Well, wow. With a lot of your newer vehicles, you gotta kind of drive them constantly in order for them to stay in one piece.
Oh yeah. But this is the Nissan Frontier is the last mid-size truck you can get with a naturally aspirated V6. It's a lot of old technology in it. It's got hydraulic steering. It's got doesn't have an electric brake. It's more old school. So.
Now, Dave, let me ask you this question. Do you have insurance on your vehicles, or do you just do that thing where you pay the state like X amount of dollars?
No, I got insurance.
And they cover it for
in
you?
In fact, no, I got insurance. And in fact, I called them 2 weeks ago because it just dawned on me. I'm retired now, and I'm not driving 80 miles a day. I'm driving 600 miles a year. So I asked, you know, hey, I think y'all could probably give me a discount. They came back and said,
They gave me one.
They gave me one. $2 a month.
$2? $2 yeah. Discount a month?
Or a month.
That was their discount?
Yeah. $2? It's probably my fault because I probably forgot, you know, I don't know about other states, but down here you can sort of finagle. Like I drove more than any, when I was working, I drove more than any other member of my family. But I told the insurance company I was driving the least reliable, cheapest, oldest car we had. Not the most reliable, newest, because I got a cheaper rate. So I'm probably still on that instead of, you know, one of the newer ones. And so that's probably why they only reduce it $2 a month, because the car that they think I'm the primary driver of isn't worth that much. And chances are it's not. I mean, three of our four cars are older than 2012.
Wow. Well, you got a lot of use out of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not trading anything in. I'm going to keep the blue Nissan truck until I can sell it on my own.
How much are you trying to sell it for?
I don't know yet, but the main reason I'm keeping it is because my daughter's down, you know, she's got two cars that'll get her to school. One better than the other, but either one of them could go at any time, so she may need that truck. I'm probably not going to do anything to July or August, but as far as selling, I would probably trade in the two that she's driving now when she buys her first car, just to help her out.
Is it manual or automatic?
It's automatic.
Is the car you're looking at manual or automatic?
It's automatic.
Oh. Dave, come on, man.
They still sell manuals. It's just now you have to pay more for them.
Yeah. And I would,
it used to be they were cheaper.
I could drive one, but my wife couldn't. So she's just like, you know, I don't want you to get that.
I consider that a perk.
You tell her then you better either learn or get out of my car.
She's had plenty of input in this. You know, I didn't want a four-door truck. I thought, well, if I get a full-size truck instead of a mid-size truck and I get a, you know, it's a big work truck with an 8-foot bed and a big front seat, I can take the airbag off. There's plenty of room for a car seat in there. It's not illegal. Trucks
you know
are pretty
what?
Safe.
I could but just hear your wife saying, doors. Take the what off? Take the airbag? What is wrong with you?
You have to turn the airbag off if you're going to have a child seat in front of the vehicle.
You don't want to decapitate them. But she told me I need to get a four-door because or whatever, you know, because she has to drive it one day or something. So
she doesn't want to deal with the hassle of turning the airbag off trying to get the kid in the front seat.
I don't know.
You know what? It's a pickup truck, right?
Yeah.
Can't you just put the kid in the bed? Bungee cord it back there?
That's the way
it worked for me, man.
Hey, that's the way we did it back in the 80s.
It's South Carolina. Ain't nobody going to care.
I can remember. This is no lie. This is a South Carolina thing probably. But I can remember me and my dad and my younger brother and sister, and I was probably 5. My brother was probably 3 and my sister 4.
Where are you?
Piling up in a Jeep, a 1970 Jeep CJ5 with no top on it, and my dad and all 3 of us wearing nothing but a pair of cut-off blue jeans, no socks, no shoes, no shirt, and going in the grocery store that way. My dad
and your sister only had a pair of jeans on too?
Yes, she was four.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was smoking a cigarette. You know, you could smoke in the grocery store. You didn't need shoes in the grocery store.
My dad had a 1986 Ford Ranger, one of those sky blue ones.
Yeah.
And it did have a topper on it. But he bolted like some plastic seats in the back.
Yeah.
and me and my sister and a bunch of our stuff and the dog all rode in the back of that truck from Georgia to Iowa when he got out of the military.
Yep.
Georgia to Iowa.
I can remember riding on the tailgate of a pickup truck, and the driver was at least doing 35, maybe 45, and wearing a hole in the bottom of my orange Converse Chuck Taylors because I was dragging my feet on the pavement. And the fella sitting next to me actually fell out of the truck. He got by whoever was driving, slowed down. He got up and ran and jumped back in. We kept going.
Nice.
Kids.
Yeah. But I'm hoping
not
to
fix
tomorrow,
my freaking mumble. What, pickup?
Yeah.
So Joel, did you get a chance to talk to Jay Cutler or Ronnie Coleman or any of the other awesome people that were there?
I did not. No.
Was Arnold there?
He was. I saw pictures of him that he was there. Actually, here's the crazy thing. Do you know somebody died there?
No. What were they doing? They got him.
I keep pressing the wrong fucking button. No, apparently they got really dehydrated and then their heart stopped or something.
Wow. Was it an athlete?
It wasn't. It was, well, technically it was a... Well, this news story say it's a 20-year-old bodybuilder. But I'm not 100% sure she was a bodybuilder.
Oh, that happens more often than you might think with bodybuilders.
Yes.
Because they get dehydrated in order to make their skin look thinner.
Yes. Well, and like I have a friend from probably my just after college, Gaia that was part of he was one of the groomsmen in my wedding. His sister, who at the time, when I was we're talking early 20s, she was probably 16 or so, but she competed in an NPC event up in Cleveland. She actually came in 10th place, and I asked her, I said, hey, are you going to continue to do this? I think she was doing the fitness category, not the, full female bodybuilder ones. And she's like, no, it's incredibly unhealthy doing it.
Oh, dude.
But, mostly because you're trying to lose as much body fat as you possibly can. So all your muscles retaining. Yeah.
It's extremely hard on the liver. It's extremely hard on the kidneys, on the heart.
Jody Vance is the name of the person who died.
Probably the brain, too, a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A bit.
The supplements, some of the supplements aren't as great for you either, depending on,
The steroids.
Yeah,
the steroids
aren't
great for you.
Yeah.
That's not a supplement. That's a drug.
True, but the creatine and stuff like that, you can abuse that stuff, too.
No, you really can't. Creatine is one of the most studied supplements that has ever been. I mean, since the 1970s,
right.
It's gone through study after study. The most problems you're going to get out of creatine is gastrointestinal distress.
Yeah. And the same thing can happen if you're like lactose intolerant and you do the whey proteins.
Yeah. And if you get gastrointestinal distress with creatine, it's because you weren't drinking enough water and you took in too much creatine. But your bodybuilders, the guys that are, and the women that are slimming down for those last couple of weeks, they're not taking creatine because creatine helps you retain water in your body. And what they're trying to do is get all of that water out of their body. So most of your bodybuilders the last couple of weeks not taking creatine.
And they're not eating a whole lot either.
Creatine, like I said, it makes your muscles appear fuller. It does actually have an effect to make you stronger, but it does this by allowing more water into your muscles.
Right.
And it is shown to have positive effects on the brain.
Okay.
I study the things that I put into myself.
I can vouch for the gastrointestinal issues with creatine. The first vitamin I formulated for GNC was a chewable creatine. And formulating a chewable vitamin, you have to taste a lot of them. And I tasted a lot of them. Here's a 500 milligram grape flavored chewable creatine tablet. And
500 milligrams of creatine?
That's a lot.
I can't remember. This was, golly.
Oh, okay. Well, you usually take in 5 grams a day. So I guess 500 milligrams.
But I tasted a lot of them and I don't just like, but I took the whole tablets. I mean, I had intestinal issues for a little while there.
Yeah. You got to drink a lot of water when you're doing it.
Yeah, I generally don't have any problem with almost anything I've taken so far. Yeah. What I want to know is how do people figure out, well, I took whey protein and now I'm farting. It's like...
Once again, unless you have lactose intolerance, then it's a matter of you didn't take in enough water. Either that or you're taking in, like, a crap ton of protein.
Right.
Like if you take in like a lot of protein per day, yeah, you're going to get the protein farts. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it works.
Yeah. That's like, I'm like, well, did you know, I took the whey protein and it's making me fart. I'm like, oh, what else did you eat? Oh, I ate beans. duh.
What's wrong with farting?
Plus,
nothing at all.
No, you haven't smelled A protein fart. Oh my god.
I've smelled a protein fart before.
Oh my god. That shit will kill you.
Like if you like eat a dozen hard boiled eggs and spend $30.
That's a good thing.
Farts
plus
are funny.
It also means it could also mean that they haven't taken protein powder before and so their body's not used to it.
Yeah, that's true too, probably. My brother's like, your protein powder's mostly chemical. I'm like, so is your food, dickweed.
Okay. Mostly chemical protein powder. Not exactly.
No.
I mean, all it is, you know, animal protein that's been broken down and baked into a powder form.
Correct.
So, no. Yeah. Especially if you're looking at like an isolate or something like that.
You might have something if you're talking about the vegan stuff, but even that is not. I mean, that's all made from pea protein. It's like
exactly, or soy, or in some cases, I can't remember what the other one is.
You might have a point if you're talking about things like energy drinks, which I fully acknowledge energy drinks have stuff that you probably shouldn't drink a lot of.
Yeah.
One a day, but two a day is probably okay, but no more than that.
You know what food is made out of?
Chemicals.
Various chemicals, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I am not like just because something has the label organic doesn't mean jack shit so far as if it's healthier for you or not, because it's a arbitrary term.
Right. And know? I could go through all the talks on why sugar-free soda is better for you, even though it, you know, is chemically processed.
Right. Correct.
And has various different types of sweeteners in it. It's still healthier for you than being fat. And
yes,
honestly, I've read the studies where they were talking about, oh, it causes cancer. You would need to drink like
500 gallons a day.
Yeah, a lot of gallons of it a day. More than you could actually physically hold in a day in order for it to be cancerous.
Right. And it's mostly actually probably the biggest one, and they don't even use it in, I don't know of a single diet drink that has it anymore, saccharin. Everyone
went away years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's gone. You know, now you got a sulfame K, or you got Nutrasweet. whatever that is.
Well, yeah. We got a lot of people doing
aspartame.
Yeah, aspartame. A lot of people also doing the agave, which is a natural,
or stevia. But,
or stevia, or, oh gosh, what's that other one?
Xylitol.
I know what you're talking about.
Erythritol. Erythritol.
That's in Swerve.
Monk fruit.
That's the other one. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
You get a lot of monk fruit mixed with erythritol, though, because it's monk fruit is, like, insanely super sweet.
Yeah.
So for it to be more on the same level with like sugar, they'll mix it down with erythritol.
But
wow, I know a lot of garbage.
You do, man. I'm starting to learn even more because I haven't watched anything today yet. I'm probably going to do that after I go for a walk after the show. Watch a couple of the training videos on the different products. I've gone through the level one, and the micro factor, which is basically that's like a vitamin pack that First Form has. It has a multivitamin, an EFA supplement, one that like covers nutrients that fruits and vegetables would have in it too, as well. And it's going to be a lot better for me to take that versus taking the gummy ones. Actually, have a little bit of calories in them, so like if I switch to something like that, I should be able to switch away from that. And I spend about that's like $70 for a month supply, so that's actually reasonable. That's about what I spend on multivitamins anyway. So, and it's all things I need. The only thing I don't think I have to double check is the vitamin D, content of this stuff, because my doctor did, because I live in Ohio, pretty much every doctor in Ohio is going to recommend you take a vitamin D supplement because of, you know, winter.
Yeah. Well, it's really difficult to overdo vitamin D. It's not impossible, but like the worst that could happen is, it's pretty bad. The worst that can happen is the calcium buildup and passing stones. So,
plus, another thing to think about is like when we were kids, what did we drink with our lunch every day? Milk, right?
Yeah.
How much milk do you drink other than maybe on your cereal in the morning if you have a bowl of cereal? Not much. So, when we used to get a lot from milk, we're not getting a lot of it from milk.
Yeah.
And you get some from the sun,
like,
too.
Like me, I switched away from regular milk and switched to almond
like
milk.
Oat milk and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. Just for the lower calories.
Yep. One thing I haven't tried with almond milk or oat milk is frothing it in my frother for my cappuccinos. I'm sure it's possible.
I haven't tried that.
I know it's possible for like a steam wand espresso machine, but I don't have that. I have the little
I'm not sure that it would froth very well since it doesn't have the fat in it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Haven't tried it yet. I should, because I actually like almond milk and oat milk are the two that I like.
Well, there are other things that you could add to it. Like if you tossed some xanthan gum in there, that would make it froth.
Yeah, or if it had it in it already, some of it probably does already have it in there. So, but. And I do like it's actually one of my favorite drinks at Starbucks now is their new cortados with the almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
And they are traditional cortados. They are actually oat milk. No. Cortada. Cortado. Cortado. I'm sorry. Cortado. Which is basically equal parts espresso and milk.
Okay.
So, in Starbucks, it's 8 ounce, and that drink itself has probably the lowest calories I've seen of any of their drinks, about 130 calories per 8 ounce serving. So it's not horrible, and it's nice and smooth. I like it. It's one of my favorite ones. They just brought out another pocket sandwich there. They had the falafel one is the one I've been getting. No meat. That's just chickpea stuff, whatever you can put in a falafel in like a tortilla thing. And they just brought out a chicken one, cause they just added the spring stuff too. Because damn it, every once in a while I want to slump and have Starbucks. Because there ain't no great cafes near my house. All the way on the other side of town.
Yeah.
I got me some Send It blend coming from Viking Coffee. Hopefully get here before I leave Friday. I love the name of that one, Send It. My other favorite that Viking Coffee makes is a Refined Savage Old Man Strength, which I love. That's me, old man. Dave is not a coffee drinker, are you?
Nope.
He's barely a tea drinker.
Your caffeine of choice was Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Still caffeine free for the time being.
Yeah, I tried that.
Oh my god, I probably need to do that for like a week or 2 weeks, but I won't.
Yeah, it's harder for some people to quit than others. I know when my brother did it.
System admins have a rough time doing it.
I'm gonna quit smoking again before I quit caffeine.
There's my next 5K run right there. I just put it in the mumble chat.
I picked up some Liquid Death Green Guillotine, which is some green tea with agave and vitamins.
Any good?
I'm about to open it and find out.
I did try their new flavors of sparkling, the Dr. Death flavor and the Killer Cola flavor.
Dr. Death was too light on flavor.
Yeah, it had a vague Dr. Pepper taste. Dr. Pepper is one of those ones that's hard to get right in a generic. Cola is a little easier because cola is a lot more, I've had generic colas. Yeah, like Pepsi Cola and Coca Cola. Yeah, an RC, so there's so many different colas out there, and there's only
Dave
one
is an
Dr.
RC
Pepper.
Guy, isn't he?
RC.
Years and years and years ago.
Me and my RC. Yeah. Yeah, that's that. The Aruna 5K is the name of the race that I'm going to run next. It's actually just down the street from my church, actually. In fact, several of us are going to be running in it, and some of us might be volunteering to run the race. But 100% of the registration fees and donations help free trafficked women. So that's a good deal.
Good cause.
Yep, I'll be wearing my Cap City gear, and hopefully I think my goal is to get under 42 minutes. So we'll see. I'm getting faster on the treadmill every week. Every couple weeks, I try and bump up my speeds. I'm up to about 4.7 mile per hour for my faster parts of the run. And I think when it gets nicer out, I'll probably start doing some runs outside because I can run without – the rails and stuff on the treadmill, there, I feel more confident running faster. So, and not to mention the fact the treadmill, they have Matrix treadmills at Planet Fitness, and those have like a cowl right, in front of you, right under where the display is and all that, that I end up kicking all the time on the fucking treadmill. And, I'd like to get one of those I'm trying to remember the name of the treadmills. They actually, I got to see one at the Arnold. They had these models walking on it. And the one that, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but the one I saw there has nothing in front of your feet. You know, the bar with the display on it's still there, but it had nothing in front of your feet. So there's nothing for you to kick when you're on there. So something like that, I would probably, unfortunately, I looked into, well, what would it cost for Joel to buy one to stick one downstairs? It's about $5,000. Yeah, $5,000, which they ain't happening. So
just keep an eye on Facebook Marketplace. Something will come up.
Yeah, maybe. Or I can get one of the walking ones that you can put, by your desk. You know, I could put, well, the thing is though, is I don't know if I can make my desk stand up. I have a stand up desk, right? But I bought, with part of my Thrive money from work this year, I bought like this, metal shelf thing that bolts onto the back of it. And I don't think there's enough room between the vault in my seat on, the ceiling in my office. That I could raise it so I could actually use it standing anymore. I very rarely will stand on it because I'm usually heads down doing a lot of work like I was doing today. But, and the boss, I'm trying to think if the boss has actually been on vacation this week. I haven't heard much from her, so I'm assuming this might be her week of vacation in India. But she ain't supposed to come back till end of the month, I think. So, but to the U.S. So, Saturday, I'm going to, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm traveling to Cincinnati to watch my son bowl in the Hoinky Classic tournament. I don't know if it's a no-tap tournament, like some of the ones he's been bowling. I know the one that we're going to Baton Rouge, at in May, that one, that's a regular tournament. I think it's scratch, if I remember right, for him. As in, no handicap. But, you know, he's almost good enough to where he can bowl in the scratch leagues. So he doesn't really need a handicap in some cases. He's bowling 15 and 16 pound balls. I think 15, mostly.
I keep hoping.
The pro shop at the bowling alley he bowls at, during the Buckeye season, they will sell squares for the Buckeye scores. Last year, he won like three times, so he got three free bowling balls. So I haven't had to buy a bowling ball for him for a while. In fact, the last one he bought with his own money. I'm like, works for me. So, Dave, when's the next trip to Applebee's?
that actually got mentioned today. We went to see the surgeon to schedule my wife's surgery. And on the way there, it was a billboard. McDonald's had 2 for $5.
And oh, there you go.
I'm a breakfast person. She's not. And we're coming back. And I said, we need to wheel by McDonald's and, you know, get a
egg McMuffin.
I want a sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin. And she's like, we should go to Pete's. You know, Pete's got breakfast. Pete's is this Greek, you know, drive-in restaurant. But she couldn't talk herself into that because she just doesn't eat breakfast. And we ended up at McDonald's. But in talking about food, I think we passed a Panera. She said, oh, I got a Panera gift card. And I said, well, you want to stop in there? And then she said, I've still got an Applebee's gift card. people give them to her for her birthday or for, you know, work or so. I don't know. She ends up with them and she likes to use them occasionally. But
now, see, I'm excited because the hotel I'm staying at this weekend is 20 minutes away from Jungle Jim's International Market, which is a fan-freaking-tastic foodie paradise. They have one aisle, Joe, that has nothing but hot sauce of all sorts of heat levels and varieties. They have frozen, dumplings and stuff like that, like, you know, like Asian food and things like that.
If you go anywhere where they're selling hot sauce and you find the Kinder sugar-free jalapeno, get it.
Okay, I'll look for that.
I can't find it anymore. I've only found it like twice.
Have you tried the cherry cola rub from Kinder?
I have not.
I was seeing it for a while, and then they clearanced it out at Sam's Club. So, but the one thing I will kind of look for down there, because I've had I had a small bottle of it up here, is a Dano's the cheesening. You should try that one. It's pretty decent. I've done it sprinkled it on like tater tots or popcorn or anything like that. And I like it, and I kind of want to get a bigger container of it so that it lasts longer, but haven't
found
it.
Something I wanted to try was those, the popcorn powders, the cheesy one, but a little bit of plain Greek yogurt, some cheese, like the fat-free cheese, and then to bump up the flavor, you put some of that powder on there, mix it all together, and heat it up. I want to try it out.
Interesting.
The hot sauce on popcorn is not bad.
No.
It's a little messy, but it's not bad.
Actually, you want to try something that's not as messy? Get the powdered Frank's Red Hot and put that on popcorn. That's freaking delicious.
The Frank's Red Hot what?
Powder.
I didn't know they made a powder.
Oh, yeah, they do. It's
just slap
great.
Some damn cayenne pepper on there, Dave.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, yeah, you could do that, but you'd have to be careful because that could light your ass up pretty good.
Or your eyeballs.
Or some Chesapeake Bay. Wait. Old Bay seasoning?
Old Bay. Popcorn? That would be good.
Zatarain's? Oh, yeah, you okay with Zatarain's, Dave?
Yeah, it's all right.
Zatarain.
Less is more. I don't want a lot of Old Bay. Don't want a lot of Zatarain's. I got simple taste. I mean, my favorite hot sauce is Louisiana hot sauce with the red dot on the front. That's all I need.
Do you know what our favorite hot sauce is in this house, Dave?
What's that?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. No, man, the kids eat this. They love this hot sauce. It's the Food Lion hot sauce. They love
really?
It.
Really?
It might be good. I
use it. I'll use it. And then I'll add some other.
Now, do you put hot sauce on like scrambled eggs? I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've done it.
Everybody puts hot sauce on their scrambled eggs.
Yeah, I like to do,
I put hot sauce on most everything.
Los Caliente Verde from the Hot Ones show. I like to put that on eggs. That's delicious.
I don't think I've ever put hot sauce on ice cream, but
that's about it. I have had ice cream that had cayenne in it. That's Jenny's makes one called Bangkok Peanut, and it's got cayenne pepper in it and peanuts, of course, like a Thai kind of. Ice cream. And not a strain. And that's one they actually have all the time. Cause they'll switch up like they'll have weird ones. Like the one year they had blueberry and corn and ice cream. I'm not kidding. I'm like, that is weird.
You know what I love to do? If you have some leftover rice, you take that rice, you throw it in a microwave for a minute, and then you crack an egg in it. And you just mix it up, let the heat of the rice cook the egg a bit.
Yeah.
Throw some little soy sauce in there, maybe some hot sauce and some furikake. Oh,
sounds delicious.
It is delicious.
Yes.
No, I'm still a big fan of like the Mexican candies.
Oh, like
the mango candies covered in chili pepper.
Oh yeah, those are delicious.
Or chamoy? Do you like chamoy?
I don't even know what the hell that is. Is that something from Ohio?
No, it's from Mexico.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember. Chamoy. Chamoy.
I worked with a Chinese guy years ago that boiled eggs in soy sauce. and the eggs ended up being brown. They were delicious.
Of course they were. Of course, well,
it sounds a little salty, honestly.
Oh, yeah,
it was salty. It was definitely salty. Not as salty as you'd think. I mean, I don't think it was straight soy sauce.
Or do you do, like, tahine powder on things?
I don't know what that is.
T-H-A-I-N.
I know what that is. It's a Spanish.
Yes, Mexican, it is.
Did he actually boil them in the soy sauce?
I don't know.
Did he make marin eggs?
Soy, yeah.
Did he make what?
Marin eggs, because what you do is...
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, you hard or soft boil the egg, and then you take it out of the shell and you put it in a mixture of soy sauce and marin.
For a few hours.
And
yeah, I probably misunderstood you.
AKA it's ramen delicious. Eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the.
Those were good though. Whatever they were delicious. Yeah. Now,
puppy decided to join me.
Hi, puppy.
What kind of puppy you got?
That's Australian sheepdog mixed with what looks like a collie.
Okay. Likes to run around in circles. Out
very furry. Very, very furry. Whoa. So yeah, I plan to, I'm taking a cooler with me and we will be taking some goodies home from Jungle Gyms. Last time I was there, I got some Chipotle, cheese curds. They're basically cheese curds with Chipotle seasoning on them. Delicious.
Corgi. Not a collie. Corgi.
Corgi. Corgi.
Okay.
Corgi.
It was International Corgi Day like a week and a half ago or something.
Well, and Tuesday was Fat Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Mardi Gras. Or in Pennsylvania is Fasnacht Day.
Yeah, Fasnacht. You know what? I got caught up in the mess because I had to go take my old laptop back to the UPS store. And I'm driving down there and like I'm like... 3 blocks away from the UPS store, and all of a sudden this chain of cars comes pulling out of this parking lot. And I'm like, why the hell is the traffic so bad down here? They're pouring out of a Catholic church parking lot because it's Ash Wednesday. I'm like, my goodness. Ash
Wednesday. That would have been today.
Yep. And I'm like, oh, that means yesterday was Fasnacht Day.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, did you have them... Like in the eastern area where you lived, or
have what Fasnacht Day?
Yeah.
Oh man, every Fat Tuesday, I remember we would have donuts as dessert at school lunch. Yeah. So Fasnacht Day was.
See, something. I know. Like in the York area, maple donuts, and well, I assume they did have maple donuts, but they would have them, and they were. Widely in the York area, widely regarded as the best ones to get. Now I got, we don't get Fasnacht here, but they're pretty much the same thing, punch keys, or that's the Polish version of it.
Yeah, we didn't get like authentic Fasnacht. It was a donut at school. It wasn't a Fasnacht.
Right, yeah.
Wait, isn't that also, is it, the start of Mardi Gras, isn't it?
It is, Mardi Gras is the same day.
And so. That's the king cake?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where you gotta find the baby in the cake?
Yep.
And you get good luck?
Yeah, I haven't had a king cake in forever. They were real popular around here for a year or two, but then I haven't seen them lately. You know, even the grocery stores would have them up here, but let's see, Fasnacht are typically they're yeast leavened dough, and that's in. Usually, it's a potato flour they use, and at least the punch keys are very very similar, and they have a lot of parallels. Sometimes they have the same filling in the middle. My favorite, the only ones I like are the Bavarian ones with the Bavarian cream in the middle, or occasionally you can get them with the cheese filling in the middle, like a kind of a cheesecakey like filling in the middle. But Yeah.
I love donuts.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I've been eating about one a week. My church has like a group of men that on Saturdays we usually meet at a Tim Hortons. And,
Joel's also filled the donut?
No. He'll
put the hole in the donut for you.
Typically get one donut and a coffee and that's about all I eat usually. Although there's a couple guys there that'll buy some Timbits while we're sitting there. And of course I snack on some of those too. So Saturdays are usually my shitty diet day.
Wait, who is it that doesn't like cake donuts?
I'd rather have a fried donut than. That's me.
Well, they're all fried.
Yeah, I'll eat a cake donut, but I like the Krispy Kreme style better.
You like the raised donut.
You like a yeast donut.
Yeah, yeast donut. I love
cake donuts. Yeast is okay.
I do too.
I love cake donuts.
Yeah, I'd rather have a chocolate cake donut than a raised donut with icing on it.
There's a donut shop down here. I don't know if it's a national chain or not. I can't remember the name of it, but it's they're crazy.
Dunkin' Donuts?
No, they're crazy expensive cake donuts. They're like $4 a piece or something stupid.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, they're proud of their donuts. They're good. I mean, but they're super rich and they're exotic's the wrong word. They got every kind of donut you can
see.
It's one of those places that has like Fruit Loops.
And
crazy fillings.
Yeah, it's overpriced.
Would it be Amy's?
No.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, because we got a place up here called Amy's, and they got one donut. Well, it's an ice donut, but then on top of the icing, they'll put a sour strip on it. I'm like, or gummy worms, and I'm like. And my brother-in-law, he'll bring them, like, when I have a Christmas party, he'll bring them to the Christmas party, and he picks basically the ones that his daughter would pick, which means they're all that kind of style, and I'm like, I've yet to have a regular traditional donut from Amy's Donuts, because I know they make them, but it's like, they always get, like, the ones with topped with Oreos and stuff, and they're okay, I'm sure. They're good, but it's like I want to see how they do it a regular donut, you know.
Drive yourself down there and get yourself one this weekend.
Nah, I don't need them.
What I like in the fall, all the apple orchards in like Western North Carolina and the mountains.
Cider donut?
Yeah, golly bum, those are good.
Yes, they
golly
are.
Golly bum, right?
Golly bum. Golly
they are good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Now, if you get a donut and a cup of coffee, would you dunk it?
I don't drink coffee.
If you got a donut and a cup of cider, would you dunk it?
No, I'm not a cider fan.
I would.
If you got a donut and a half and half, would you dunk it?
I'm not ruining a donut by getting it wet.
It's going to get wet in your mouth.
There's one to say, man.
I'm gonna ruin a donut by getting it away.
Get it away.
Dave is one of those things that, or one of those people that thinks that if you get anything wet, it ruins it.
He's dry humping that donut.
It's like loaf bread.
Now I will say this. I get them only because they're in single serve packets. But Sam's Club has had a box with both double stuffed Oreos and the Post Malone Oreos.
What are Post Malone Oreos?
Well, it's his collaboration with Oreo, and they have special like one side of it will have like a guitar clip or pick.
But what's the
on
flavors?
It or
it's
record?
Two, it's two flavors.
Right. Well, actually, it's got a chocolate cookie and a vanilla cookie, and then it's got swirled icing in the middle, which is supposed to be salted caramel and shortbread flavored.
Yeah, I saw two very old people. I mean, these people had to be in their early 80s at the least at the Post Malone Oreo
display
in Walmart. they both had them up looking at them like debating whether to get them or not. That's a scary looking package if you've never seen
it. It is.
I mean, if you're an 80-year-old, don't know who Post Malone is.
It is. Well, it's like Post Malone, like if you hear him talk, nicest guy you'll ever hear, you know, hear in interviews and stuff. But then if you listen to his music, it's like, whoa.
It's like the nicest guy that looks like he crawled out of a dumpster.
Yeah, exactly.
He's, still,
yeah,
he's a really nice guy, though.
Yeah.
Got nothing wrong with, nothing bad to say.
Look,
about
I watched
Post Malone.
Him on, it's one of the Mythical Morning channels, the Mythical Kitchen channel, right? And they got a couple segments, or they got one, well, they call it a podcast, but it's on YouTube, okay? So I don't call that a podcast, but, a hot dog is a sandwich is the name of the show. So, you know, saying, you know, I think that's probably the first one they did was, is a hot dog a sandwich? You know, of course it's a sandwich.
Yeah.
But, so that's one they do. But then the other one they do is, your last meal. So they'll interview a star while they'll eat their last meal. They did Tom Hanks and, they did do Post Malone. Gordon Ramsay came on it. And of course, in his last meal, he had what else? Beef Wellington. But, and I find that one really interesting because it's like, what would you, you know, if you got to pick exactly what you ate for your last meal, which most of us don't, you know, what would you pick?
It wouldn't be the Post Malone Oreo.
No. I think I'd have,
I come
oof,
down to
like four pizzas.
Choices.
Yeah, pizza.
No, like
that
four
would be
pizzas.
In mine. Yeah, right. No,
I'd say like a 48-ounce steak would be one of my choices.
Here you go, pizza with steak on it.
One of mine would definitely be pineapple pizza, Hawaiian.
I like pizza with hot dog with sauerkraut on it.
Okay.
And I also like chicken fingers, French fries covered in brown gravy with a toasted hamburger bun. That's probably okay. That's probably my last meal.
I figured you were going to go for chicken fingers and custard.
No.
I could go, you know, you say chicken fingers, I would specifically say.
They got to be good chicken fingers. I mean,
Raising Cane's chicken fingers with a 16-ounce cup full of cane sauce.
It's hard to beat brown gravy.
Well, that's true.
Your
too.
Last meal is going to be Raising Cane's
sausage.
No,
gravy.
It wouldn't. It would. That would be part of it.
Oh.
Because I'd be having a pizza too.
Last
Giordano's.
Last meal can be a guilty pleasure.
If I knew it was my last meal, it would definitely have some volume to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I don't have to clean that shit out. Then you think about
that's
it.
That's the coroner's job.
That's right, man.
We got to wrap this up. I want to say I had the opportunity to try the orange creamsicle Coke.
I have too.
The,
I wasn't impressed.
The Zero Coke Zero version of it, and I took a sip, and my wife took a sip, and Lillian took a sip, and Avery took a sip, and then we poured the rest down the drain and threw the bottle in the recycle.
Yeah, it's nothing to write home about.
Why would you want to ruin orange creamsicle by adding cola to it? I'm assuming that's what they did.
Because
right?
We're stupid, Dave. We're stupid, and we keep hoping that this is going to be the thing that's going to change our lives, and
it
never does.
There's some energy drinks that are orange creamsicle or orange creamsicle.
And they're good.
That are pretty darn good.
Yeah. That flavor all by itself covers a multitude of sins as far as flavors go, bitterness and all that. It's delicious.
Yep.
Wait, who is it? Stewart's that makes an orange creamsicle soda?
Yes.
That is delicious. The Coke one is not.
I got more vanilla on the Coke than I did orange.
I got a lot of nothing.
Yeah, now the raspberry, blackberry Dr. Pepper is delicious.
Nope.
You didn't like it?
Nope.
It was all right. I mean, I don't mind it.
I like the strawberry one better.
I don't like cherry sodas either.
No, I love like, cherry soda. I'm a big fan of strawberry soda.
The strawberry cream Dr. Pepper is not terrible.
I don't know. It's like, I like cherry, but I don't like cherry vanilla very much. I don't like when they mix too many flavors in the soda and then all of a sudden it's not.
There you go.
Yeah, soda should be just one flavor, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, Diet Cherry RC. All right, we gotta
me
wrap
and
this
my
up.
RC.
Wrap it up.
All right, here we go. This is it for tonight. Hear your promo.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. First Form has an orange sunrise energy drink.
A what? Who?
Orange Sunrise energy drink. First Form, the company I'm working with.
Oh, look at you. Shilling already.
Of course I'm shilling.
Are you an influencer now?
Maybe. Who knows? They got one for Texas, Joe. Called Texas Lightning.
Cool.
It's got a can with Texas on it. Texas logos and stuff. Actually, Tropic Lightning, Texas.
Are you still recording?
Oh, wait, you want me to stop? Hold on. Oh, that sucks.
I think that's all the longer that the hip replacements last. I don't know, I'd have to ask Dave. Huh?
Who's getting a hip replacement?
I'm going to need one eventually.
My wife's scheduled shoulder replacement is 2 weeks from Friday.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
In some regards, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's looking forward to it, though, isn't she?
No, not a bit.
No?
No, she's dreading it.
What happened here? Yeah. Dave!
Yeah.
First off.
It's all your fault.
You're fucking lucky you're back on. If I would have gotten another email that you weren't going to be here this week, I would have fired you. Secondly, I heard there's wildfires going on in South Carolina, and the first thing that hit my mind is like, oh man, is Dave making a fireworks suppository again?
There was one about, let's see, as the crow flies, probably 5 miles from my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It was, the town's called 6 Mile. There's a story behind that, but the 6 Mile Mountain is the first mountain I can see from my house. It's like the foothill of the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's probably 10 miles south of where the Blue Ridge Mountains actually start, but it's like the first mountain you get to. It's 600 feet above sea level. No, it's more than that. I'm 1100 feet above sea level. So it's, I don't know, 1600 feet. I don't know. I don't have to know this, but that's where the fire was on the mountain. But there's, I didn't go out and look, but I know people that live even closer than I do, and they took pictures at night, and yeah, you could see. You can see the orange. You can see the smoke. See all that.
Did they get it under control?
Yeah. There was one house burned. It was under construction, and nobody was living in it. But there were like, I forget what numbers, triple digits, maybe quadruple digits, wildfires in North and South Carolina last week. No, Myrtle Beach had a lot of fires.
Nothing wrong with getting a little dirty.
Yeah, I heard it was like a lot of it was on the southeast side of the state. Or the eastern side of the state.
Yeah, it was. The PD region, that was harder hit than we were up here. As far as I know, it was
and
one fire up
no
here.
No federal relief in sight.
No.
They don't need federal relief up in Dave's country.
Mm-hmm.
Come together and, you know, get some sticks and a couple of garbage bags. You got yourself a new house.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got a new refrigerator recently. They put that's the first floor, box. And then they just put the sticks on top of that. You got yourself a split level house.
You put your refrigerator in the front yard down here, you bragging. He's called uppity right there.
I remember back when I was working at the school district and pulling an overnighter trying to get some stuff done, and it was like Jerry Springer was on it, and it was the guy who was living in his front yard, and he had a refrigerator box that he was like he had it like, you know, like those people back in the old timey pictures were wearing a barrel with suspenders. He had a refrigerator box with suspenders. I called my wife. I'm like, you got to turn on Springer Show, man. This guy is out of this world. His wife kicked him out of the house. So that's what he was living.
I've seen houses with refrigerators in the yard. And, my brother-in-law, who's dead now, he used to drive 90 miles to Greenwood to buy meat from this guy who had a freezer in his backyard.
So the people have refrigerators in their front yard. Are they working?
No, they're broke, I would assume.
I'm assuming the guy who had the meat in the backyard in that freezer, his freezer was working.
Yeah.
That's like when you go down here up by a marina and they got all the little bathtub-sized tanks with minnows in them.
Yeah.
Well, you got bathtub-sized freezers with people actually buying meat out of them.
I don't know what they're doing with them. It could be feed troughs for pigs or something. I don't know.
Hey, when you're hungry, you're hungry.
Yeah.
I wonder where Joel is.
Yeah. I don't know. If I sound hoarse, it's my new medicine.
We need medicine.
I thought I heard Joel a minute ago. Were you playing something?
He was playing something, I think.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that was from last week. Remember the getting dirty thing?
Now, I'm on a maintenance inhaler now, and it makes me hoarse, but it helps.
Well, I'm glad it's helping.
Yeah, I probably told you I burnt my lungs. Chlorine about 13 years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that
did a number on me.
I remember that. Almost killed you.
Yeah.
You never do that again, huh?
No. We're putting a pool liner in, and we're going to convert the pool to salt water, so no more chlorine.
There you go. At least, you know, the only way you're going to die from that, right, is if you drink way too much.
Yeah.
I remember when my dad, when I took over some of the pool maintenance from my dad, and my dad was like, this is what you never do. Don't do it. You know, the thing is, like, for some reason, I find the smell of chlorine, like, I like it.
Like if it's on your hands, I mean, residual. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's like it brings good memories.
Yeah.
Of like being in the pool and stuff like that.
Yeah. But don't inhale it. I mean, no. Residual, fine, but not the gas. No.
Yeah, and also don't get a little bit of water in that thing there either. Yeah. That cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. But if you see green gas, that don't just go away.
Scaring the shit out of me. I guess we start the show. What is it, Dave? One?
1,000? 1,089.
There we go. 1089. See, who said we need Murph to try and tell us what's going on? Nobody needs that. Do.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Just fine. All right, let's start the show so we can get some stuff in. You can't hear us? You can't hear us, Joe? I guess that's a no. Uh-oh. Can you hear me, Dave?
I can hear you.
That's all that matters then, right? I'll tell Joe you said that. Doesn't okay. matter.
Are you? Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear me.
I heard you twice.
Oh, I heard you, Dave. Look at Dave's laugh is coming back. Like, I was hearing Joe just fine. Like, everything seemed perfectly set up on Joe's end. He was talking to us.
Yeah, I asked him about the hip replacement.
And then he did. Then the GoreCon happened. I don't know. Did Joel send him his microphone? Well, I guess we should kind of start. I don't know whether to start the show or wait to see if Joe gets it fixed first. We got a few minutes. We'll let him get it fixed. Well, I'll tell you what, Dave. I don't know what it was like for you, but Saturday, beautiful weather.
Yeah, I think it was here too, best I can remember.
Yeah, it was beautiful weather, short wearing weather, and then 7 o'clock, the gale force wind started, temperature dropped like 30 degrees. Wife was out at a, I'm not done talking yet, Dave. The wife was out with, Lillian, and she had a show choir event. And they were gone all day out and around Richmond. And she said when she got back around 11:30, she's like, it's like flurrying outside. It got cold as hell. What were you going to say now, Dave?
We skirted that, I think. We got some wind, and we got cold, but we didn't get anything else.
Did you get storms today?
We got storms. That was the eastern part of the state. We got, some really heavy rain and heavy wind this morning. It sounded like I went upstairs at one point early in the morning, and going up the stairs, it sounded like a tornado. It sounded like, like a train. So I hadn't heard any reports, but they were calling for tornadoes. I think there were tornadoes in North Carolina.
So you flew open your windows and yelled, ADM, I'm coming. Yeah, we had tornado watches. We didn't actually get a warning, but we had tornado watches. A storm came through here. It was like, damn.
But we had wind all day. Probably 30 mile per hour gust. Nothing huge, but yeah. But it's 58 outside. You got that kind of wind. It's cool.
Da-da-da. Although I'll tell you what, though, this—I don't know what it is in here. Something's kicking up and killing my allergies.
Mine are year round now.
It's getting worse as I get older. It shouldn't be like that. I used to have these problems.
I used to have them twice a year, but now it's year round.
I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, why do I feel like shit? Why is my mouth sore? Why is my sphincter puckered up? Oh, glory day. All right, I'll give him another minute. I don't know if he said we should wait for him or he's going to be a couple minutes.
I didn't hear either one of those things.
Well, that's because you're not looking in the mumble chat.
Oh, yeah.
Then you would read it, not hear it, right?
Couple minutes for me.
What does that mean?
He's saying go ahead now.